This is Meryl. No, that's unacceptable. Listen, tell Warren if we don't ship by Tuesday, we won't be in the stores by Mother's Day, and that's unacceptable. So don't give me any excuses and do it. Do it! Just shut up and get it done!
Oh, honey, you broke your phone.
It's okay. I carry extras.
And have you been around someone who got angry like that? And just hearing that goes through me. It gives me the feeling of, get me away from them. It rattles you, it shakes you up, and you're probably thinking, I hate this person. And yet you come out with something meek like, oh, honey, you know, you broke your phone. You can tell the mother's afraid of her, intimidated by her, and the mother should have done some better parenting early on in life, although sometimes mothers aren't fully to blame with that. Maybe she did it herself. That is from the movie Rat Pack, and I am not from the movie Rat Pack. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. My show is The Rational Basis of Happiness. I'm a clinical psychologist here to take your calls and questions on anything that's troubling you today. Here's a question I got from Melanie about a psychologist and ethics. Hi, Dr. Kenner. My former boyfriend, who had a history of substance abuse, broke up with me and got involved romantically with his psychologist. That was short-lived, but they bought a home together and are still cohabitating, though not as a couple. There was supposedly a 2-year gap between treatment and buying a home together, but that's not what I recall. Was there an ethical breach by the psychologist? My ex-boyfriend has made several attempts to reconnect with me over the years, which has stirred up a lot in me. I'm trying to process it all. I've always questioned the ethics of a psychologist and have had some consideration to report this person, though I did not act on that line of thinking, and I guess you chose not to. Could use some feedback from a professional, Melanie. Melanie, boy, I've got a raised eyebrow on that one, but again, I can't make a snap judgment over the radio because I don't know the full picture and I haven't talked with the psychologist or the boyfriend. So let me give you the ethical principles of psychologists and their code of conduct. You can look this up online. This is available to anyone. But before I address that, it is your life, Melanie. If this boyfriend did damage with you, let's pretend it wasn't a psychologist. Let's pretend that it was a teacher. Oh, not a teacher, but let's pretend that it was just another girlfriend. And they bought a home together and whatnot. Man, does it make any sense to reconnect with this person? You know, they're contacting you again. You don't have any obligations to reconnect with anyone who's caused you emotional concern. In addition, you're telling me he had a history of substance abuse. So you want to take a close look at that too and look at your alternatives. It is your life. You don't have a duty to reconnect, and you look at whatever benefit is in it for you to reconnect, if at all, and whether it's better to move on with your life. So the question is, what is best for me in my life now? Now, we're going back several years. What you're talking about with your boyfriend and the psychologist are dual relationships, it's boundary issues. And there's always been this running debate. Should you completely avoid dual relationships? It might be a business agreement. It might be, you know, what if I go to ballroom dance lessons and one of my clients happens to go to the same place and I go to dance in the mixer and I end up dancing with a client? Do I just bow out and not dance? People will look at it and say, weird, what do you do? I haven't had that situation, but, you know, that's a feasible problem. How do you deal with it if you live in a small community? So dating, bartering, entering into a business arrangement, you attend a funeral of a client's loved one, are they always wrong? Well, one school says don't be dogmatic. Look at the situation and determine it contextually. You need to have all of the data. Another says, don't break any boundaries, especially the sexual ones. So now I'm going, the reasons that we do this are, number one, that you try not to break those boundaries, unless there are very extenuating circumstances. Maybe someone's in hospice and you go over and above to help them out, a client or something. But the reason you don't do it is that you want therapy to work. It isn't about you and the client in a romantic relationship. It's about the client getting on with their life, learning new skills. The second thing is that want to protect the client. You're getting so much information. There are what they call power differentials. You're the one with all the knowledge who's trying to help them, right? They have knowledge too about themselves, but you're being a good guide to them. And you also want to protect yourself from liability if you're a therapist. Now, having said that, I know of some cases where it's worked out. I had a teacher in college. I won't mention the college I went to, but I had a teacher there who married one of her students, and she said that there were problems. I mean, she openly acknowledged it in classes with us. I don't know why she did that, but she did. But sometimes it can work out okay. So here are the ethical principles so that you can have them firsthand. Number one, sexual intimacies with current therapy clients or patients. Psychologists do not engage in sexual intimacies with current clients and patients. Then sexual intimacies with former therapy clients and patients. And it says psychologists do not engage in sexual intimacies with a former client or patient for at least 2 years after cessation or termination of therapy. They do not engage in sexual intimacies with former clients or patients even after a two-year interval, except in the most unusual circumstances. Psychologists who engage in such activity after 2 years following cessation or termination of therapy and of having no sexual contact with the former client bear the burden of demonstrating that there's been no exploitation in light of all the relevant factors, including the amount of time that has passed since therapy ended, the nature, duration, and intensity of therapy, the circumstances of termination, the client-patient's personal history, the client-patient's current mental status, and the likelihood of adverse impact on the client or patient, and any statement or actions made by the therapist during the course of therapy suggesting or inviting the possibility of post-termination sexual or romantic relationship with the client-patient. So there you have it. Those are the ethical, that's the code of conduct, the ethical principles of psychologists. So hope that helps you out. Here's a quick question. Hi, Dr. Kenner. Why does it hurt so much when you've been rejected by someone you're romantically involved with? And I think it's a great question. So many of us have gone through the pain of being rejected. I know I did in college, and I went to therapy, and they gave me one Valium. That's what they did in those days. So they didn't teach me thinking skills. So why does it hurt so much, and what can you do? You want to ask yourself that question. Why is it hurting me so much? And some possibilities could be, he was the nicest guy I've ever met. I'll never find anyone like him. Or it could be anger. After all I've done, how could he leave me? Or it could be betrayal. He met someone else. I won't trust anyone ever again. You could be thoughts about yourself that you're hurting. I'm not good enough, or I'm replaceable. Or maybe he saw things in me that aren't good. Maybe I should have treated him better. Maybe there's some guilt there. Or maybe the hurt comes from sadness, just thinking catastrophically, I'll never find anyone. Or maybe it's about romance. I'll never have a romantic relationship, or I don't want to start over. What to do? You can get our book, the book that Dr. Redlock and I wrote, which is on my website, drkenner.com, drkenner.com. The Selfish Path to Romance, How to Love with Passion and Reason and Learn How to deal with these issues. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner and co-author Dr. Edwin Locke.
If you're interested in finding a potential soulmate, be on the lookout and eliminate anyone with poor moral character. For example, someone who is dishonest or lacks integrity. No matter what other qualities he or she possesses, And no matter how good that person makes you feel in the short run, such a person will bring you nothing but heartache and disappointment in the end. Eliminate anyone whom you do not respond to emotionally, including sexually. Love, after all, is an emotion. Notice how your partner treats you. For example, if the person is stingy with praise but generous with criticism, dump him or her.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com. And you can buy The Selfish Path to Romance at amazon.com.